While I was attending seminary in New Jersey back in 1990s, I worked at a church up in Bergen County, New Jersey. There was a town sort of on the border of New York and New Jersey, and I was working as a junior high ministry pastor, youth pastor. And one Sunday, the church meeting, I had to go to this seminary friend's ordination service. You know, he's like 2 years above me, and he graduated, and he was getting ordained as a pastor at this other church in Jersey. So I wanted to go there, I was going down New Jersey Turnpike, and I was, you know, maybe like 10 or 15 minutes late. So I was, you know, pressing my gas pedal and try to get there as soon as possible. And then I noticed that on the highway, I think, you know, I may have told you the story when we were back in Los Altos. Suddenly the car slowed down, and I was wondering why, and I pressed the accelerator even harder, and the car, you know, usually the car would go faster, but it kept, you know, slowing down even more. I'm like, something's wrong here. So I pulled over, parked on the shoulder, and you know, it was a Mazda Protege, and you know, until then it had never given me any trouble. So I was like, what's wrong with this car? And I realized it wasn't the car. The problem was with me. You know, I forgot to put enough gas. So there was no, when I looked at it, I was like, there was no gas. Gone. I was like, uh-oh, this is not good. And I was like, oh, well, what should I do? And then I noticed, to my horror, this you know, souped-up car that kind of looked like a sports car. And you know, it had like all you know, it was like the windows were all dark black with, you know, heavily tinted windows. And it suddenly just pulled up right behind my car. Not right behind, but like there was a distance. And suddenly, you know, three doors flung wide open. And these huge three homeboys, they came out. and they were like, you know, walking at a fast pace toward me. And when I kind of looked in the mirror, they looked mean, and I think they meant harm. They weren't, you know, coming to help me, but they were coming to harm me, and I realized it. And I felt for the first time in my life like raw fear. Oh no, they're going to beat me up. They're going to take my phone, my wallet. They're going to beat me up, you know, take things from car. So I was panicking, like, help, Jesus, help. What do I do? What do I do? Help, Jesus. And then, like, as they were approaching my car, suddenly all these three, you know, dudes stopped, and they turned, and they ran back toward their car. They got in, they closed the door, and they just took off. I'm like, what just happened? I was like, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved, right? And then I looked, and right behind, as they were leaving, I noticed there was a police car parked right behind their car. So it turns out that, you know, when they parked their car to, I don't know, do some harm, somehow there was a police, and he pulled over. And when these guys saw the police, I think they're, you know, the driver, when he saw the police, he notified his friends, and they just went back and took off. So I was like, wow, you know, thank God, right? So the police, you know, man comes over and is like, oh, so what's going on? And I, you know, told him that I didn't put enough gas, and that I ran out of gas. And you know, although, you know, he at the time looked like an angel, he looked at me like I was an idiot. So I was like, oh yeah, it just happened. So he kindly called somebody at the gas station nearby, and the guy came with this fuel tank, and you know, I put some gas in my car, and then I took off. And like, the fuel tank, you know, if you just buy gas at a gas station, you know, it's not that expensive. But if they deliver it to you, it's like three times what you pay for at the gas station. It was a very expensive trip. So, you know, that's when I realized that, you know, running out of gas in the middle of the highway can be more dangerous than I thought. It was very dangerous. Well, in today's parable, we are going to read about five bridesmaids who ran out of gas for their lamps. And the consequence for their negligence is much greater, much worse than mine. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along their lamps. The bridegroom was long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." You know, the text may seem like the 10 virgins are getting married to this one bridegroom, but this parable is not endorsing polygamy. You know, elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus's clear teaching is monogamy. So it's not about polygamy. The 10 virgins are not his future wives. They are more likely 10 bridesmaids. And the parable is not really about marriage. The parable is about the second coming of Jesus as the sovereign king. And the end times is the background for this parable. In the previous chapter, the disciples asked Jesus this question: "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And then Jesus tells them about the imminent destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in 70 AD, and about his second coming in power and glory. And Jesus emphasized that no one knows the day or the hour, not even himself, only God the Father knows. And the theme of his return becomes clearer in the parable itself. Though the parable that Jesus told was based on the wedding customs of that day, it was a strange and untypical wedding. For example, the bride is never mentioned. Where's the bride? The bridesmaids typically went out to meet the bride and accompany her to the groom's house. But in the story, it's not the bride, but it's the groom. The bridesmaids accompany the groom to go to his house in a wedding procession. And the groom's tardiness was unusual, as well as the harsh rejection of latecomers. You know, anybody can come to the wedding late, but here they are rejected. In all the weddings, the spotlight is always on the bride. The wedding is a big day for the bride, but in this parable, the groom is the central figure. The spotlight is on the groom. The bride is even mentioned. So these irregularities, they tell us about how we should live in light of the king's return. And the parable is rooted in the Jewish wisdom tradition, wisdom literature. In Proverbs chapter 9, wisdom and folly are described as two women urging people to follow their ways of living. And in today's parable, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly have become 5 young girls, and they are asking the readers to choose one way or the other way of living. And the parable pivots around one decisive event, and that is the coming, the arrival of the groom. Only the people who accompany the groom in a procession can enter into his house for the feast. And the feast or the banquet at the groom's house is the highest point of the celebration. And the parable reaffirms what Jesus had been saying. The time of his coming is unknown, and it is not as soon as people expect it to be. And the groom's coming, while everyone was sleeping, affirms that his coming will be at a time when nobody expects him to come. The five wise bridesmaids have brought extra oil for their lamps, and the five foolish ones did not bring the extra oil. And many scholars think that these aren't the indoor lamps that you light inside the house, but more like the outdoor torches that you use, you know, that you see in movies. You know, you have to drench the torch, the cloth with oil, and they say it may last about 15 minutes. So every 15 minutes, you gotta drench the torch in the oil and light it up again. Many people have wondered what oil might mean. What does oil stand for? And throughout the church history, there have been many different interpretations of what the oil stood for. And some said that the oil stood for good works. Some said it is faith. Some said it's love. No, it can be just any other Christian virtue. And that's the problem with the allegorical interpretations. You can just put anything for oil. And if we try to guess what oil or sleeping stood for, then we can miss the point of the entire parable. Jesus tells us the point of the parable kindly at the very end. He says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know that day or the hour." The point is not that we should not sleep and keep watch. All the 10 bridesmaids, they fell asleep. They slept. And they all had to be awakened. The point is that we should be prepared, that we should be wise. We should be ready for this decisive event. So that's wisdom. Wisdom is being prepared, being ready for a key moment, key event. And if we are prepared, we can sleep well, knowing that we are ready for that event. And this spiritual readiness is not something that can be achieved at the last minute. When the foolish bridesmaids realized that they did not have enough oil, they asked the other wise virgins for some oil, but they were told to go and buy their own because there would not be enough to share. And it shows that spiritual preparedness is not something that others can provide for you. You cannot borrow it from someone else. Each one of us is responsible for our own preparedness, for our own readiness. Each of us needs to have our own personal relationship with the King. We cannot claim our place in God's kingdom just because our parents were Christians, just because our parents were elders or deacons at church. Each of us have to repent of our sins, believe the good news, and develop a personal relationship and produce the fruit of faith and love. So the point of Jesus is be ready, be prepared, because you do not know when I will come back. And nobody really knows when the history will end. No one knows when the last judgment day will be. But we know this. I know this. For most of us here, Jesus will come back within 100 years. You know why? Because most of us will die after 100 years, right? So the day of your death, the day of your death is the day of your judgment. That is the last day of judgment. chances are that our death will come before the last judgment day. Right now, I am 48 years old. And in a few months, I'll be 49. And if I live, you know, about 100 years, that means I have 51 years left to prepare for the coming of Jesus. The day you die is the day that you will face the final judgment. The last day is not just the last day of the calendar. The day of judgment is the day that transcends time and space. God is outside of time and space. The last day is the day of the Lord, the day of days. And all the days in our time are focused on that last judgment day. So it doesn't matter when in history you have died. You may have died in the first century, second century, third century. All the days lead into, they directly lead into the judgment day, which is outside of time and space. So the hour of every person's death leads into the last day, leads into the judgment day. So the day you die is the day that you will meet Jesus as your judge. Now, who knows when we will die? I don't know when I'll die. I can get into an accident tomorrow and die tomorrow. So Jesus may come back sooner than we think. So we can take the last phrase of Jesus as this: be prepared, because you don't know when you're going to die. And each day is a gift from God. Each day is the time and space for us to be ready, for us to be prepared for that decisive event. Then how do we prepare for this decisive event? How can we be prepared for our death or the coming or his coming? The best clue is in the context of the parable. The parable of 10 bridesmaids is placed in the midst of other stories or other parables about the second coming of Jesus. And the preceding and the following parables, they provide clues as to how we can be prepared. The story that comes before today's parable is the story about the wicked servant who does not perform his duties because he thinks that the master will be very late in coming. The master is away and he thinks that the master won't be here for a long time. So he does whatever he wants. And the point of the story is that we need to be faithful to God and obey his commands. King Solomon's conclusion, after, King Solomon, he tried everything, he had everything, but his conclusion about the meaning of life in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes is this: now all has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind, for God will bring every deed into judgment. The following story is the parable of the talents. And, according to the parable, all of us are given natural and spiritual talents. And we are to discover them, develop them, and use them for God and for others. And if we don't use them, we will lose them. And the last story is the story about the sheep and the goats. And the point of this story is, whatever we do for the least of these, we do for Jesus. We show our love to God by showing love to others, especially the ones in need, especially the ones who are poor or sick or oppressed or incarcerated. And our own parable, the parable of the 10 virgins, makes perhaps the most important contribution. It says, later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. And Lord, Lord, and I do not know you. You know, this echoes Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus said, Lord, there were people, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons and work miracles in your name? And Jesus says, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. The foolish bridesmaids appeared to be part of this wedding crowd, but they never had a relationship with the groom. They neglected to prepare the oil because they were not really looking forward to his coming. The coming of the groom was not first on their agenda. It never was. And we cannot borrow the oil from others. We cannot borrow others' relationship with God to gain access to his kingdom. We need to have our own personal relationship with the king. So some in Matthew's community were complacent like the wicked servant, because it seemed like the promised coming of Jesus was being delayed. So Matthew was warning those complacent Christians in the first century that they should be alert and keep on being faithful, keep on being obedient to his commands, because his coming would be sooner than they think. And some in Matthew's community were discouraged and anxious because the promised coming of Jesus didn't seem to be happening. It was being delayed. So Matthew encourages them with the good news that Jesus loves them and Jesus longs to come back as the bridegroom longs to meet with the bride. Jesus will come back to be with them and to renew the whole cosmos. Jesus will keep his promise. Instead of being complacent or anxious about his return, we can be faithful every day. We can cultivate faithful obedience, faithful stewardship, faithful love toward others, and faithful relationship with God. We can prepare for the coming of Jesus because we are afraid of being locked out of heaven. That can be a valid reason, but we have a better reason to be prepared. Because we love Jesus, we desire to meet Jesus and see Jesus face to face. Let's pray. Let's first confess that my heart is not really longing to meet or see Jesus. So let's pray that God would change our hearts, change our desires, that what I want most would be to see the glory of his face. And let's pray, help me to be wise, help me to be prepared, help me to be faithful. Thank you.